It's been a while, but the Premier League is finally back. Jules talks us through his wild card. Sam and I explain why we're waiting to press ours. And we discuss all the fallout from the FA Cup and how it affects our strategy. It feels like it's been an eternity, but the Premier League is finally back in midweek. Yeah, that's your first deadline. You must be very confused. Kelly Summers, Julian Laurent and Sam Bonfield with you on a Monday because there is midweek madness to look forward to. The FA Cup is done. The international break is done. This is where it gets serious. Yes, Jules, have a big sip of cup of coffee because is your wildcard active?
It is active. Look, it's here. It's there. It's real. I'm not really sure what I'm doing, but hey, here it is.
That's just standard, though.
Yeah. Sam, you're also nursing a mug of a caffeine-based drink, I'm sure, because it feels like we need all the kind of positive energy, all the thoughts, all the good stuff to go into this pod and get planning for FPL teams, because this is like, there's no more breaks now. This is it.
No, this is the fun bit. This is where it all gets very serious and we have to concentrate and make sure that we don't make any mistakes. And so last night I was sitting there and watching some nonsense on the telly, making my pod notes for today and thinking, shall I hit that wildcard button? And then I'm very, very much trying to hold my nerve until Tuesday night and I'll play it once the deadline's passed. But it is so tempting now that we're starting to get a bit more information through as to what the last few weeks of the season are going to look like. So yeah, it is tempting, but I'm trying to stay firm and hold fire until 31.
Yeah, I was exactly the same as you. Once the FA Cup was done yesterday, I was just really, really tempted looking at my team. Started to do the whole, well, if I did it now, I could do this and I could have this and yeah. I could have that. I also had a panic when Kerkez wasn't playing for Bournemouth in the FA Cup. I was like, oh, that means I have to wildcard now. He's injured. No, he's just suspended for the FA Cup. So I think that would have tipped me over the edge. But yeah, plenty for us to talk about. Let's firstly start by talking about the impact of the weekend's FA Cup results. We now know exactly how the rest of the season is going to shape up in terms of who's in the FA Cup, at least. There's still a few more announcements we are waiting for in terms of when the rearranged games are going to be. So do keep an eye out on PremierLeague.com and the various channels this week for the latest news on that. But we do know that Crystal Palace, Nottingham Forest, Manchester City and Aston Villa are going to be in those semi-finals. This does mean they will not play their matches that were originally planned to be played in game week 34. That does mean that Arsenal against Crystal Palace will be postponed, as will the games between Manchester City and Aston Villa and Nottingham Forest and Brentford. It is possible, though, that I should say this at this point because everyone's getting excited. It is possible that some of those fixtures could even stay in game week 34 but be played in the midweek instead of at the weekend. So, yeah, it might not actually impact as much as we thought, but we don't know. We're all speculating at this stage. Sam, what I was going to say, get your crystal ball out. Tell us when we can expect the announcement, when we can... What are we expecting, I guess, in terms of for those games? Because I've kind of talked about possibilities there. It is all speculation, though.
Yeah, so it potentially will be the biggest blank game week of the season. So I think you can look at it in a couple of ways. So for me, I think last week I was talking about how I'd ideally want to play 3:34 and hold the free hit chip. I think if it ends up being the biggest blank of the season, as in all of those three matches don't happen in 34, then it does make sense to play the free hit chip in that week. For clubs that have European action still going on this season, a double in either 33 or 36 makes the most sense, probably 33, because it keeps it away from that fixture congestion that they might get towards the back end of the season with European stuff. However, there are, and we have had a precedent for doubles in 37. Last season, we had that. We had back-to-back doubles in 36 and 37. So we could see some go there. It's going to depend on what the other clubs have in terms of their scheduling, where their fixtures are put in between now and the end of the season. So, for example, Forest have two Monday night fixtures. So it's possible that they could slot in a bit more easily than, say, if they were playing at 3 o'clock on a Saturday in a midweek. Mm. So, yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty still, but it is really helpful to know that it's just those three matches because it could have been more. It just so happens that Villa and Man City both got through and they happened to be playing each other that week in the Premier League. So that's actually been quite handy for us as FPL managers to only lose three matches rather than four, which we could have had.
Well, as Sam said, it could be the biggest blank game week of the season. The games that will go ahead, I've told you what are cancelled. This is what we, not cancelled, going to be rearranged. This is what we do have to look forward to in game week 34 when you're planning your chip strategy. The games will have Bournemouth, Manchester United, Brighton against West Ham, Chelsea taking on Everton, Liverpool against Spurs, Newcastle welcoming Ipswich and Fulham travelling to Southampton. Oh, and Wolves taking on Leicester City as well. So there are still a fair few fixtures there. Seven in total that we know of. Jules, when you're planning your chip strategy, we know your wildcard's going to be active this week. What are you thinking about 34? Where does that fit? Is it going to be a free hit for you?
Yeah, I think so. Because you can, for example, load on Crystal Palace players if you want to. Even if they're blanking then on 34, you can play your free hit. You can, same with City, if that's, if you fancy Marmoush, like we mentioned, Virgil, Marmoush, I don't know, whoever you want from City, you can go there too. And then still be okay for 34. You might be okay with 34 without playing your free hit if you play your free transfer well or take a minus four and keep your free hit for, like Sam says, game week 38 to have a lot of fun. Or if there's also a double in 37, then you can play your free hit if you've already wildcarded and this is a chip that you have. It could be really fun if it's a double game week 37 to play your free hit then and be able to load on players who have two games in that game week. So there's a lot of things you can do. So it's okay if you look at 34 and think, oh my God, I'm going to only have three or four players. It's fine. You can still play your free hit there and still manage after that at the end of the season. So there's a lot of options. And as we're saying, at this stage of the season is how well you play that, your chips and that strategy that you have.
So in terms of your strategy, Jules, you're going to wildcard this week, game week 30.
Yeah.
Will you then be assistant managering 31, 32, 33,
yeah, exactly.
Free hit 34?
Yeah, that's the idea.
And then all you'll have left is bench boost, correct?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Don't forget any deadlines. That's intense.
But I think this is it. When it's so intense, you can't forget anything because you are so into it. It's when you take the game week, oh, it's okay, game week, everybody's playing. You know, I'm just going to play my... run my transfers and play my team, and that's when he's like.
He'll like the assistant manager chip because he can just activate it for 3 weeks and not look at it.
Exactly. That's true. It's just, do I go for Unai Emery or Oliver Glasner? That's how, what, like, you know.
Yeah, because you'll need a plan.
Yeah, I need a plan. Yeah, just leave me alone. I've got time.
No, I can't leave you alone. My job is to ask you what the plan is.
So the plan would be probably either Unai and Glasner, and in the wild card, I will leave. So 0.8 million is for both the price for Emery or Glasner in your assistant manager chip. So I will leave that maybe a little bit more just in case, just to be sure. But you know me, I rarely leave more money in the bank. So
we always seem to have so much, you don't need to be honest.
And leave a space, right? Because you wouldn't be able to get three Palace players.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Don't do that. Sure. Yeah. No, I said if you wanted to trouble up. But I like the Unai Emery pick as well as as the assistant manager chip.
Okay. Sam, how's it affecting what's your plan with your overall chip strategy?
So currently I'm still on wildcard 31. There is a chance that I go rogue later on today, tomorrow morning, five minutes before the deadline.
Come on.
And I don't think I want to. I do actually still like my team for this week. Like I still look at it and I still think actually that looks okay. I might weirdly take a minus four this week, which I don't normally like to do ahead of.
Yeah, that's really normally minus fours. We kind of say they should pay off over a few weeks. Explain.
Yeah. So there's three teams that have got, well, there's four, but there's three teams that have got really great fixtures this week and that I would like to be invested in. Palace, obviously, miss me. Man City, the other one. And Liverpool, but I also, you know, you also have to look at, it's basically the teams that are playing Ipswich, Leicester and Southampton, right? But then obviously they've got the Merseyside
Bournemouth
derby.
Bournemouth
as well, Now, when I look at my team at the moment, I have one Bournemouth and it's not the right one. I have no Palace because I sold Mateta when he got injured and I have no Manchester City. So given that Manchester City and Crystal Palace also are going to double at some point this season, that's why my temptation is to go early on the wild card because I could make sure that I have them for this week as well as then having them in for the double game weeks that they're going to have at some point this season. And we already know that Palace will double in 32 anyway in that week where they and Newcastle both double. So that's where my kind of slight wobble comes because if I don't wild card this week, I'm going to take a minus four to make sure I have a Palace player in and a Manchester City player in. And then I'll just be sticking with my one Bournemouth asset because Bournemouth have become a little bit less attractive now that they're out of the FA Cup because
their form's dwindled a little bit as well, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It has. And the fact that they won't double means that I'm less likely to go heavy on the likes of, you know, getting in Cliver or Semenyo or Kirkez as well. So for me, that's where I'm, this is where I'm stumbling a little bit. And so taking a minus four, you're absolutely right. Normally I would sit here and go, oh, don't think that's a great idea because it's a minus four. You're going to wild card literally within about 30 hours of taking that minus four. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. So I am tempted to just hit that button a little bit early and get it done. But then equally, I like my team for this week. So I'm really torn. But at the moment, it's 31. I'm looking like I'm boring. Going to have to go back to the game week 34 free hit strategy, which I really would have liked to have not done that. But there we are. That's just going to be where it is now. And then the bench boost, whichever double is biggest, will hit. I'll hit the bench boost in. So it'll either be in 33 or 36.
Yeah, that's you've literally got exactly the same as me in terms of, I think I'll hold my wild card. I'm going to have to, I was always probably going to free hit in 34. I couldn't see myself getting around it. And the fixtures have confirmed I can't, because you have to be careful, don't you? I understand not wanting to free hit, but you don't want to not do the wild card that you want to do just because you're having to consider 34 too much. You're putting players in just because they're playing in 34. It makes a wild card so much easier. You feel a bit more free with your picks, don't you, I think?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I think, you know, 34, if you look at game week 34 just as a standalone game week, it absolutely looks playable through. Mm. You've got seven fixtures with decent teams playing in there. It's quite easy to pick a nice team for it. But if you do that, it means that the free hit kind of has to go in the big double, because you won't have the doubling players in. Now, it is possible, and this is another reason for me thinking about waiting on my wild card, if those fixtures get rescheduled in for after the blank, then it's possible that you could do it. You could wait with your, you could roll your transfers, wait your way through with the wild card, do the wild card after the blank, play through the blank. But it all feels really messy if you do it that way. Yeah. So because of the way the FA Cup has gone, like if Palace had gone out of the FA Cup, the blank 34 game week would have, because you'd have suddenly got Arsenal and Palace, I think you would have been able to play through it nicely and hold the free hit chip till the end of the season. But the way that it's gone with now Arsenal and Palace blanking means the strategy just doesn't work as well. So I'll play the free hit in 34, even though I'd be a little bit sad not to play in 38.
Okay then, Jules, it's time to hear how that wild card is going. We'd love to know. We've heard your suggestions on the previous pods, but just run us through your squad and maybe explain it a little bit.
Yeah, so I only have one goalkeeper for now in Sells, which I'm keeping. I can't have Henderson really. Well, no, I could, but if I want to go for Oliver Glasner as the assistant manager chip, then I can only have obviously two players from Palace in the team. So Mateta is one, and then it's Munoz or Eze or Henderson. So I will have to choose at some point. Defensively, so let's say Munoz is in there. Munoz, Saliba, I like Livramento because Newcastle have a double. Yeah. It's cheaper than Trippier, for example. Trippier is another good option, I think, to have if you wanted. And then I went for really cheap Burgess from Ipswich. And then the other one, I'm not sure. I like Luke Dean because I thought he was really good at the weekend against Preston, for example, with his two assists. And again, I think there's potential for him, even if he obviously he will blank. I think he looks in good form, to be fair. So Dean is a possibility. In midfield, I went for Jacob Murphy. Mo Salah still. I kept Cole Palmer for now. Bruno as well. And my boy Odobert from Tottenham that I mentioned in the last show. Mm-hmm. He's so cheap. He's so cute. He's young. He's cool. I like him. And then up front, Mateta and Isak don't move. And Marmoush is the one coming in, especially after the goal he scored against Bournemouth with the Haaland injury too. I think Marmoush will obviously start, and I think it could be very good for City with their scheduling, and also the fact that he won't play with Erling Haaland. He play on his own up front and can run around everywhere he wants, because that's what he loves doing, running a lot and being involved a lot. So I think Marmoush makes a lot of sense right now.
Sam, your thoughts?
This
on
is
that
where that now.
It was interesting because I was listening to it thinking Burgess and no second goalkeeper is a problem, isn't it? Because you've still got your bench boost, but then you're right, like, in that you have your 0.8 in the bank with your assistant manager, and your bench boost is going to come after the assistant manager. So you'll have that
money
back. They
will go by then,
So you're just basically going to have some transfers later on in the season that you fix that before you bench boost.
Yeah,
that does make sense. Yeah, and it is. I guess it's going to depend partly on how you decide to go with your assistant manager, right? Because if it's on Emery's almost easier because then you can get treble Palace.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's difficult with the assistant manager because you want to target the table bonus, because as Kels and I saw when we played it, that's so important.
So important.
But we're still a few game weeks away from really being able to settle in on what's that table going to look like, and therefore, are you going to get the bonus? So that's the one thing with the assistant manager chip. It's really hard to plan for it. And I think when you're wildcarding now, that's slightly problematic. But actually, that sounds quite good, annoyingly.
Yeah. So Jules, what are your big, I guess your big conundrums before the deadline then are just your keeper. And just the things you've mentioned.
So either going for somebody who's not going to play and just save a bit of money that way and just keep sales pretty much until, especially now, as we think Forest might not blank at all. So you can keep your Forest goalkeeper or your Forest players, whoever you have, and that won't be a problem. So that could be a possibility, or another goalkeeper in the 4.5, 4.6, which is what Henderson is at right now. I would rather have Munoz and Mateta, or if I go for Unai Emery, even Saar, Mateta and Munoz makes more sense, I think, from a Palace point of view than having Henderson in goal. Mm-hmm. So I see why I do that. And if I go for Glasner at some point with the assistant managership and not Unai, or, you know, one game is Unai and then the other two are Glasner, whatever, then I keep Munoz and Mateta, for example. So I still need a goalkeeper and then, another defender.
I was going to say, if you're going to bench boost in 33, you could just get Areola, because he's got a really great fixture against Southampton that week, but you'll still be on your assistant manager chip then. Yeah. So,
I thought about him too. Mm. And you know, he's my boy, obviously.
Mm. Obviously.
After that, it didn't look that great from a West Ham point of view. So I was like, okay, maybe
Your backup, when you're not going to play him any other week, you only need him for the bench boost week. Because let's be real, if you're getting sales, you're playing him every single week.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
So, but if you're not bench boost, like if your plan is to bench boost him 33, so Kels and I's probable strategy, then Areola is the perfect second goalkeeper, because he's cheap, you're not going to play him any other week, and it doesn't double, but it's Southampton. So you hopefully get something. Whereas I guess for you, you're looking for a cheap one that's got a decent fixture in 36 or doubles.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. Which is a bit more difficult.
I feel like Sam's just given you a load more headaches.
And also you're not sure yet.
Yeah.
Just giving you a load more things to think about. And you're like,
That was difficult to do last night, but
Sorry.
Sam, I'm going to put you on the spot. You might not have done yours yet, but the fact that you're considering a wild card, have you done any drafts at this point in case you are to press the button? Because I just wonder how
she has. She does draft all season long, even when she's
in
playing.
If you haven't got one, don't worry. We'll just pretend I never asked. But I just thought it'd be interesting to compare it to Jules if you have, or how yours would differ.
I have a vague draft. So I think I'd have Sells and Areola as my as my goalkeepers because of the 33 thing that I was just talking about. Three Palace, Munoz, Eze or Saar, depending upon exactly budgets, and then Mateta up top. Mateta, Isak, Marmoush.
Yes. We're going to have very similar ones, I think.
This is the problem at the back end of the season, is that sudden, and this is where it's very annoying that Jules has got the assistant manager chip, because for you and I, Kels, like that 3 week block, it's going to be, we're all going to have very similar teams. But he's going to have a chip active for 3 weeks, whereas we're only going to have it active for one. Although you've still got your triple captain as well, so you can put that somewhere.
My triple captain will go in one of the doubles. I've just got to work out which way with bench boost.
So not Salah.
Not Salah.
But then it feels really bad not to use it in a double, doesn't
it?
Yeah. Isak in 32?
Yeah, Isak is the one that I'm contemplating.
That's a good pick.
And I guess it's hard because if Haaland, I think, is going to be a massive talking point at the moment because of this injury. Because a lot of managers who are wildcarding,
would have
gone
there.
I think it's, in a way, it's weirdly quite helpful because we don't have to find the budget for him. But I was also thinking that come the end of the season with this run in and Man City, you'd expect them to be an upturn in form. Haaland for me was going to be another triple captain option.
Whereas would you play the triple captain on Marmoush? Maybe not, but you definitely would have.
Well, but equally,
Haaland.
I'll bring Marmoush in on a wild card and we'll see what he does. And I'm not ruling that out. The triple captain, it's almost harder having it now because the lack of doubles for Liverpool, the lack of Haaland. Yeah, it's tough. I'm almost quite envious that you've used your triple captain in a way.
Don't be envious of mine. It went badly. being Mr. Jules isn't going well.
Yeah. I'm going to be more angry if Jules' assistant manager then goes well. Because he
it
is
will.
Distributed.
You know it's going
I was not
to.
Angry for you when you did well with your assistant manager chip.
You are. Sorry, Sam, I interrupted your wildcard chat. You were talking about Palace, I think.
Yeah, so three Palace, those three, I think more ways. And then City, I find it really hard to treble on City. So I think I'd just double on Gvardiol and Marmoush.
Yeah,
I think
they're the two really.
That's the play. Palace, I think you go in on. I think I'd have gone for a cheap Palace mid. I'd have had Alanga or Gibbs-White. That's when I was listening to Jesus. Forest. Yeah.
You're so obsessed with Palace that
I'm
you mentioned
so
Palace
obsessed.
For every
it's
club.
Constant. I'll go with all of them all the time just to have that.
Yeah,
I'll
go
12.
For Saka for Palace. And
absolutely.
Also, I think Marmoush at Palace is a really
them
good
all.
Pick.
Change them all. Yeah, Forest, sorry. I think I'd have had an Alanga or a Gibbs-White in there. I think they kind of make sense. Morgan Rogers also probably would be back in, weirdly. Like I feel like he goes in and out like a yo-yo at the minute. And having said, I don't think I'll go back to Villa, I think probably you end up doing that. You have Rogers. I actually do really annoyingly like the Luca Dean pick as well. I think that's a really interesting one. Mm. I would want to know when that Forest-Brentford game is, because if Brentford are going to double, then I think you find a space for Mbeumo as well. You can play through the blank. But
they've got fixtures. Yeah, no, I see what you mean.
They have, but I think if they're doubling, you would find the space for him because he always has the potential, even in a difficult fixture run, and it is difficult, Newcastle, Chelsea, Arsenal, Brighton, and then Forest, it's difficult. But I think I'd find a space for him if I knew that it was going to be a double, whereas if I knew it was just staying in 34 and it was just that game against Forest, then I'd be like, I think I can go without. And this is why I keep writing them and then ripping them up and then starting again. And it comes down to wanting to have more Palace, more Forest if they're doubling, more City. But then I'm quite torn after that.
Okay, yeah, it's quite tricky, isn't it? Just a word it's on... Just... Go on, George.
No, I was just going to say, sorry, guys. The first wild card in the first half of the season is always important because, you know, it's a chance that you have to, especially if you're not doing well or if you're doing well, to keep doing well. This one, I don't know, I felt the pressure last night. I'm like, oh, man, I can't pick somebody who's not going to return. That's going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
So close to the end of the season, if you want to win your mini leagues, go higher up in the rankings, whatever the objective is for you between now and the end of the season, playing your wild card now really feels big, you know what I mean? And I'm like, wow, okay. So let's
and you have to be careful, don't you, not to be blinded by the doubles and just go, right, I need these teams because they're doubling. Because actually, you are setting your team up for the last 9 weeks. And so the doubles are just going to be 1 week of that.
True.
So, or it's going to be 8 weeks if you've still got your free hit. But nonetheless, I think you do have to be mindful of, okay, well, I want to invest heavily in. Now, Palace are a bit different because they have the two doubles. But like Newcastle, investing in them makes a lot of sense. They sit high on the fixture ticker. It's a great run and there's a double in there.
Yeah.
But then there are, and same with Man City. But then there are others that you look at, like Jules was saying about Brentford, where there's a double, I wouldn't go heavy because the rest of the fixtures are awful, but maybe you do keep one because of the double and then maybe you get rid once the double comes. But then if the double's not till 36, maybe you don't go yet. Do you know what I mean? This is why there's still a lot of uncertainty, right?
Yeah, true.
Okay, I'll tell you what, there is a game week at hand as well as the rest of the season, so we should probably bring it back round to game week 30 because it feels like it's going to be quite big. I'm going to be honest, I love the midweek fixtures for the fact that we have midweek fixtures in the middle of the week, but I always find that it's a really tricky week in terms of FPL teams because managers, even though they haven't played a lot of the teams in the FA Cup this weekend, they have got one eye on the fact that there's games just a few days away at the weekend. So I never seem to return well in midweek. So I'm looking forward to that already. The other thing I think we have to consider is the fact that the FA Cup, we've spoken about it with Haaland, but there was actually a few other things that came out of the FA Cup in terms of injuries. Let's just continue the conversation about Erling Haaland because he didn't feature in either of your wild cards, understandably, A, because of his fee, but B, because he also left the Vitality Stadium with his foot in a protective boot. We don't have any more info on that. Jules, if there was to be a positive bit of info on Erling Haaland, would that change your plans at all?
No, it's too much money. For me right now, Marmoush is a good kind of replacement, as we mentioned before. By the way, Haaland leaving the Vitality Stadium with a boot doesn't mean that the injury is super, super serious. It
Players often leave on them, don't they, just in case.
It's more to just maintain the ankle, the shin, what, you know, whatever, the leg, yeah, in the way it is. He will have scanned today and then we will know a little bit better. It could just be a couple of weeks, maybe. It could be longer. It could be shorter. We don't know yet. But the boot doesn't mean that it's super bad and then we won't see him again before the end of the season. But I just think the price, I looked it up yesterday. There was a draft when it was in, and then I was just not too happy with the rest of the team, really. And as we said, yeah, he might be back very soon and score goals and things like that. But I would not be comfortable having a team build around him for this last 9 games of the season. Because one, I'm not sure really how much he would give me. And then two, the rest of the team, because of his price, was just not, yeah, it didn't feel right. So I preferred not having him in.
Do we just have to ignore Sam? As I said, does it make it easier?
It almost gives you permission. Like, so yeah, it was really weird. Like when last week we did obviously the pod and we talked about not having Haaland, and a lot of people messaged me and were like, you're mad, you change your mind on a wild card. And I was like, yeah, maybe I would. Maybe the fear would get me towards the back end of that wild card that I'd go, actually, it seems a bit weird not to have him. And, you know, if you've got the triple captain and stuff left, maybe you want to give yourself an option. But when he went off injured, I was like, that's almost permission, isn't it? It's permission to go, Marmoush instead. Like, because he's not potentially fully fit, we don't know how long he's going to be out, it gives you that ability to go, okay, well, I won't spend the money there, and instead I'll spend a little bit less, or a lot less, actually, and go for Marmoush instead. So, yeah, I think he's an easy ignore now, which was weird to say about Haaland. But I think given you've got Marmoush as another option, you can ignore Haaland and stick with the Egyptian instead.
Okay, then someone else that hasn't featured in your wildcards. We did speak about him, of course, on the podcast last week when we went through the forwards, Chris Wood. We knew at the point of recording last time that he had that injury that he suffered when away with New Zealand. He didn't travel to Brighton or feature this weekend in their win against the Seagulls. And Nuno was asked about him post-match, and there was a couple of quotes going round. He's been quite vague, but it doesn't sound good. He said, not good. Let's wait and see. It's going to be day by day. We have to assess him. It's all about the pain that he has a big impact on his hip. It's very painful. So we have to assess him. And he basically said, I can't answer when he'll be back. I don't know. It's going to be day by day. Jules, again, I guess it would have been more of a conundrum for you on a wild card, but does this almost give you permission to ignore as well?
Yeah, especially for this midweek, right? Because it's so close. If they had a whole week between the FA Cup weekend where Nuno spoke about him and we saw he was not involved, and the next Premier League fixture, then the whole week a lot of things can happen, especially if it's not a muscular injury or things like that, and if it's the hip. But with literally 3 days in between, I don't think he can come back for the United game, which is a shame. Awoniyi was going to start up front for them, and he's a similar-ish type of player than Wood. So the way they play is not going to change. Like if instead, I don't know, they had German Defoe, for example, or something like that, you know. So it works for them. You don't take any risk for Chris Wood because you will need him later, and at some point he will be back. But for a wildcard team or whoever has Chris Wood still, he has to go on the bench because he's not going to start or not going to play on Tuesday night.
If you're not wildcarding at the moment, Sam, what do you do with Chris Wood? Sell?
That's where my -4 is coming from.
Maybe wait and see a little bit more because he might be back the next game.
I guess
so. The thing is,
Sam,
even if he is, you're wildcarding next week anyway.
So I'm going to transfer him out this week. I'm going to transfer him out this week, or I'm going to transfer our midfielder and bench Chris Wood because I don't think you can play him, can you, Sam? Or can you? I guess you can play him, and then if you've got a good first sub, it's kind of the same.
Yeah, you'd need to make sure that you've got somebody that can, because I don't think he's going to get any minutes. So you then need to have somebody that's going to come off the bench and that's going to be half decent. And so if you've got a really nice looking bench, then fair enough. But for me, I've got, so my front line at the moment is Isak and Wood, and then Beto, who I bought in for Mateta when Mateta got injured. So I don't really want to play Beto in the Merseyside derby. I don't think. Like, I know I can, and this will probably come back to haunt me saying this, but I don't really want to. Like, particularly when Marmoush and Mateta have got such great fixtures, I would rather have both of them in my team. So the -4 makes sense. Now, if I come into the World Cup week next week, and we hear that Nottingham Forest are going to have a double and all of that stuff, then at that point, maybe I'll look at, can I have a strategy that is to bring Chris Wood back in. And maybe the strategy is after Newcastle double in 32 that I can go from Isak to him to cover more doubles. But then again, it goes back to that thing about fixtures before. Mm. So for me, I think Wood is a sell, because it, even if it's going day by day, like that's not great, is it? That they're kind of monitoring to that extent. So I think he's an easy sell.
A few bits of bad news when it came to Forest in general. Not only did they play 120 minutes and penalties, and yes, I was there, sat through it all, was not a classic. If you missed that one, you didn't miss much at all. But just towards the end of extra time, Morgan Gibbs-White was taken off, and I was actually sitting behind the bench, and I said to someone, I said, is he injured? They said, oh, I'm not sure. Don't think so. But I think he was taken off, because it felt like a weird substitution when they were about to go to penalties to take him off. And it was because of injury. Nuno said he had a contact against the post. His leg wasn't okay. He was struggling, and it was all about Brighton. So we decided to take him off to try and hold on to penalties. That really isn't good news, because he's been brilliant for Forest, brilliant for us. Jules, if you were looking at Gibbs-White, if you had Gibbs-White, would you be concerned about that? Or because also, again, it's that whole tight turnaround, isn't it? They're playing on Tuesday night.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and we mentioned him on last week's show, and I wanted him in the wildcard team. And the fact that he came off injured and he looked in pain, and it can just be a knock, really, impact, and nothing more. Yeah, and that's it. Like, he gets a dead leg or whatever, and he's fine. I'm not sure if he would be fine for the game against on Tuesday against United. Although, if you're Forest, okay, Woods, you know, it might be more serious, but Gibbs-White, I think you need really, really badly in your team, because for me, and we've said it before, we're big, big fans, and he's the one that makes everything tick together, you know, more than the two wingers, more than Wood, more even than that wonderful defense that they have. For me, Gibbs-White is just the one that links everything together, really. So without him, it won't be the same. And he got, I think, suspended earlier in the season, but he hasn't missed much really this season for them. So it would be a big blow. But that was worrying, I think. And that's why he's not in my team. And if you have him, I think you could be worried too.
Were you not tempted? I know we spoke about it previously, but you haven't got any Forest in your team, have you?
No. I wanted Elanga. I don't know why I'm so obsessed with Odegaard, to be fair. because as you see, you know, he's from Paris and he's cute. But like, and he's very good. And he impressed everybody on international duty. But yeah, Elanga was the one yesterday I was like, oh, really? Surely? Come on, surely. Yeah. And I know, obviously, they started on the bench, him and Hudson-Odoi, at the weekend.
Kind of showed their intent, I thought, a little bit, in terms of keeping. It was the way they wanted to play, didn't they? They wanted to, and it worked really well, didn't it? They contained Brighton, Brighton couldn't get through. But I think it also showed that they're not prioritising the Premier League, because, gosh, they're in an FA Cup semi-final, but they're keeping those players as well for the Premier League, it felt like.
Absolutely. Yeah, completely. And they would start, both of Hudson-Odoi and Elanga would start on Tuesday night.
Yeah. Sam, happy with your Elanga, and probably echoing Jules' words of, if you've got Gibbs-White, he's probably potentially not going to play.
Yeah, I think it might just be that this week comes too quickly. And that's another problem with the wild card, isn't it? Because I agree with what you just said, Kels. Like, I think having a Forest midfielder in there makes sense. So, like, I probably hold Elanga as the cheap option, because he's cheap. And so that's fine. I mean, this week, if I do the -4 and have Mateta and Marmoush up top, I am going to have some benching headaches, which will, you know, might cause me some issues and might end up with me benching a load more Elanga points, because, you know, standard behaviour for me. But yeah, I think having him makes absolute sense. And on a wild card, he would be one of the guys that likely stays, because he's a good budget enabler. He's got good fixtures. He's in good form. And all of that stuff that we've been talking about over the last few weeks. So yeah, I really like the Elanga pick. I think he'll be popular with people wildcarding, particularly with the doubts over Gibbs-White.
Ollie Watkins played a few minutes at the end of the game. I know a lot of people were thinking of selling him. If you had him, Sam, would you hold him?
It's really hard, because that front three, like, you wish you could have more. Like, I think this is the first time this season I felt like this. Like, up until this point, I felt like, can we have 7 midfielders instead? But actually, at the moment, even with the doubts over Chris Wood, like, the Isak Mateta Marmoush combination feels like that's going to be the go-to for people that are wildcarding. I mean, we've all said the same three. So then you put Watkins in there, and he's a bit more expensive. Maybe it's a bit more difficult to get there, particularly if you want to have Salah and all these others as well. Like, I think having Salah and Palmer, or Salah and Saka alongside Isak and Watkins, is quite that's quite tough to do that and still have a really nice team across the rest, because you are building probably for a bench boost and therefore it's a 15-man squad rather than, you know, just ditching the bench a little bit.
Mm.
So I don't know. I think with Villa, I would prefer to go with one of their midfielder options instead, free up the forward spot and invest in a, depending upon your budget, in a Villa midfielder and a Villa defender. I feel like that is potentially better, particularly as also, you know, Villa still have Champions League.
Yeah.
So my suspicion is that their priorities might just be there and in the FA Cup, because they're unlikely to maybe get that those spots for the Champions League again for next season through the league. So I don't know. The fixtures are mixed. I think that is fair in the league. And then with the distractions of the Champions League and the FA Cup, maybe not finding that spot for Watkins and instead going slightly cheaper with a midfielder is better.
Okay, let's try and focus on some of the positives. We briefly mentioned this last week in terms of Saka being back in training. Jules kind of rightfully said we should be cautious with that because of Arsenal's priorities, also getting him back fit at the right point for them, particularly when you're looking at the fact they've got Real Madrid. Jackson also pictured back in training. And I don't think we kind of picked up on this too much with your wildcard, Jules, but Cole Palmer pictured back in training. And I'm intrigued as to you keeping him because he is a lot of money. Last week on the pod, Sam was the one that was more sure on keeping him. What's your thinking there?
The thinking is I can move him to Bukayo Saka, for example. I mean, I think this is the idea. If he keeps going through the drought that he's going through, well, now, just before the small injury he had, because he was never that serious. But the fact that Nico Jackson is also back training, and we've mentioned it before on the show, I think they're both so important to each other. For Cole Palmer to play his best, I think he needed a number nine like Nico Jackson in front of him. And for the last 2 months or 6 weeks, he didn't have him. And I think Palmer himself looked a bit lost. Chelsea looked lost overall with Neto as a nine or Nkunku as a nine. Sometimes even Palmer as a false nine. Didn't really work out. Now that Nico is back, and again, I think they have to build up his fitness, but he's back in the squad and he will probably get a few minutes as well against Spurs on Thursday night. This is very good for Palmer. So he still has a yellow flag, but really he's going to play against Spurs. And I think the Nico Jackson news is probably even better news for us, Palmer owners, than anything else, really. So 10.8 is a lot of money for sure, but I'm thinking that now it could be a good time for him to stop the drought, go back to scoring, returning, especially with Nico Jackson back in the squad as well.
Agree, Sam?
Okay, you know if anyone's going to end his drought, it's going to be against Spurs in midweek, don't you?
Everybody does.
Let's be frank.
What Ange does to you.
Yeah, I know. I said last week, he's got a great record against Spurs in the Premier League. Three matches, three goals and an assist. Like, you 100% know Palmer's bouncing back in midweek. And I agree with everything George just said about Jackson. I think the fact that Jackson's back, that just made me more inclined to keep Palmer. And I think the fact that Saka is coming back also makes it make a lot of sense to keep a second expensive midfielder, because you do not want to be taking minus fours, minus eights later on in the season to get a second expensive midfielder, because your budget's everywhere. Like, I think it makes a lot more sense to stick with Palmer and then move to Saka if you choose later on in the season. Or, of course, if suddenly a Foden or a KDB or whoever it is from Man City starts banging ahead of a double game week, then it's really easy to invest in one of them if you so choose.
Okay, I'm just going to run you through the fixtures that are in this game week, because we've mentioned a couple of them, but it feels like we've been talking about so much. The fixtures in midweek then: Arsenal, Fulham, Wolves, West Ham, Nottingham Forest, Manchester United are on Tuesday. On Wednesday, it's Bournemouth, Ipswich, Brighton against Aston Villa, Man City, Leicester, Newcastle taking on Brentford, Southampton, Crystal Palace and the Merseyside Derby. And then on Thursday night, it all ends with Chelsea taking on Spurs. When you look at those fixtures, other than expecting Palmer to return to form against Spurs, Jules, which other ones kind of stand out to you?
Well, we mentioned City. I mean, we're not picking on Southampton, Ipswich and Leicester before their fans
are
beautiful.
We sort of are.
But we are. We're not picking. It's just right now, if we said Palace going away at Southampton, you must fancy them, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah, same for Manchester City at home to Leicester. This is a no-brainer if you want Guardiola, if you want Marmoush, even if you believe that KDB, who was better this weekend against Bournemouth, especially, you know, for the last hour of what, after the first half hour, you know, you can go there. If you fancy Nico O'Reilly, who is very tall, but clearly gave two assists as well at the weekend, then go for him because he might start in that Leicester game. So that, and then Bournemouth against Ipswich, as we mentioned, for Clovert, for Semenyo, for Kekes, maybe Kepa in goal if you want. Those kind of players, I think you target that. If you want another game out of that, I think Arsenal at home to Fulham is a very interesting game because Fulham have played, obviously, this weekend when Arsenal didn't play. And I think the FA Cup, for the teams who played in the FA Cup this weekend, heavy legs. It's not easy to go Saturday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday, Wednesday, sorry. It's not easy at all. And so I think you could also target the team who are facing the teams who just played in the FA Cup weekend.
Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it, Sam? Everything you said for once.
Yeah, everything you said. Tick.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Should we move on?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's move on. I think we've spoken enough about those. Let's move on to differential of the week. It feels like ages ago that we lost our Premier League action, but let's just remind Julian LeBron that he got 1 point by picking
Xerxes. Are you sure?
You picked Xerxes. Sure?
We said
remember?
It was a weird pick at the time.
God, I'm not sure what happened there. I saw yesterday
well, we
on
did
the...
try and save you and we were like, you can't go there. And you were like, oh, no.
No, it was
start.
Better. And also, he looks so much like a French rapper that we listened when we were younger, much younger.
Oh, good. Kids. Doesn't give him any extra points.
I'm just saying,
it's a cool
plays.
Look, though. It's a really cool look.
He did only play 21 minutes, so you're a bit unlucky with that one. Sam, so if you went... Yeah, no, in fact, I was going to try and say that the ratio of points per minute wasn't bad, but it still wasn't great. Sam, you went for Morgan Gibbs-White, 5 points, got an assist. So you get another, what colour? Is it, does it go green in the document? It does, doesn't it?
It's green, another, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of assist was that? Was that like a real assist or just like, hey, I'll pass you the ball and then do something special?
He was actually really unlucky not to get more, to be fair, George. So you were unlucky not to get smashed that week, to be fair.
Okay, fine.
Let's move on. Who are we going for this week, Sam?
Just in a shock to everyone. I'm going to pick a Palace player because, you know, I'm obsessed.
Which one have you not mentioned this season? I think you've gone through the whole squad. Yeah.
This one I haven't had. I've been back.
Edin Nketiah? No.
No, because Matessa is back. Ismaïla Sarr this week.
Have you not picked him before?
Surely you've picked him before.
No.
Surely.
I haven't. I checked. I've had Eze. I've had Matessa. I've had pretty much the whole Palace team, not Sarr. Okay. So, to be fair, it was a really tough decision to work out which one, whether I went for Sarr or Eze. And in the end, I looked at the spreadsheet and saw I'd had Eze before. And so he was like, oh, I'll have Sarr then because I knew Jules would start. Complaining as usual. Plus, Sarr has actually got, as I mentioned in last week's pod, his underlying metrics are really good. He beats Eze most things. And since game week 10, of the cheap midfielders, he's seventh for big chances with 16. That's ahead of Palmer and Wood and Bomo as well. He's had more shots than Mateta in that period, even though he's played fewer minutes. He's had 24. So, I think Sarr could do really well this week. And I don't think I'm going to have him. And I hate that because I would really, really like to own him. If I was wildcarding, I'd have him.
Mm.
For sure.
Yeah, but just remember what it felt like to own him before. Just keep reminding yourself.
I know.
Jules, who are you going for?
I went for Semenyo.
I hope you're right.
9%. Yeah, 9% ownership. Because I think he's due something.
Yeah.
He hasn't been in luck really in front of goal. And we said Bournemouth have gone through a little bit of a dip. I think even physically, the game is so intense. And so it maybe it was to be expected. So he hasn't had much for the last month or so. 5.7 million. So I think he's still a good price for somebody like him. And we say they play Ipswich. He looked good every time I watched him, even if he doesn't if he hadn't returned before. So I'm hoping that Semenyo, who did well during the international break, that it's a good midweek fixture for him.
I just wanted a word on Dango because I actually wondered if his owners might have been dealt some good news yesterday as well because Sinisterra's out and also it looks like Tavernier's out as well. So I'm wondering if Dango's place could kind of, I mean, I've sold him now, but I'm wondering if that could help his owners, Sam, a bit maybe. Maybe he's going to get a few more minutes again.
Yeah, I think suddenly he looks far less of a priority sell, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like in with Evan Nilsson coming back, Dango felt like he was going to be a priority escape plan for everybody. Whereas I think now, given the fixture this week, I'm not sure I would go there on wildcard. I think on wildcard you probably don't, because Bournemouth aren't doubling now. But I think for this week, you would absolutely hold Dango, and then maybe you start to plan for an exit route out. Like if you're like you, Kelly, and you're going into next week wildcarding ahead of 31, then I think holding Dango this week is a really nice option.
Yeah, I agree then. Okay, so transfer plans, we know Jules is. He's sorting out that wild card. Sam, what are your plans? Oh, the minus four.
Yeah, big, big.
I reckon she might activate this wild card, you know.
Yeah, she will, we know.
I'm not sure I will. I think I will do a minus four, and I will do Wood and Beto to Mateta and Marmoush. I think that's what I'm going to do. And then I'll activate the chip for game week 31. Because we'll have so much more information, hopefully, about when these fixtures are going to go. And for me, information is, that's how my brain works. I need as much information as I can in order to plan as best I can. So I think I'd rather take the minus four. I genuinely think Mateta and Marmoush could easily wipe. Because in theory, it's basically Beto versus on his own, because I don't think Wood's going to play, versus two players who could go mad. And all right, you could argue I could just do Beto to one of them, or I could just do Wood to one of them, but I don't know, where's the fun in that? I think they'll both do well, so I'd like them both.
Okay, captaincy, we all going Salah, Jules?
Marmoush, I think. I want Salah, of course. I want Salah because he's been the best, really. I think Everton are going to park the double-decker, triple-decker, quadruple-decker, everything you want, really, to spoil the day. Whereas I think Marmoush and City are just going to really be too good for a Leicester team that is all over the place as well. So I like the Marmoush pick as a captain, I won't lie. And I think that's probably what I'm going to go for, I think.
Okay, Sam?
I think I'm going Salah. Think so. I think had Mateta scored in the FA Cup, I'd have been really tempted to have gone Mateta. But I think Salah.
You're not a fan of Marmoush?
No, I am.
As captain, no, I know you are, but like as captain.
No, I am. And he's definitely in the consideration. It's a weird one, isn't it? Because there's something about him being 7.3 or whatever he is now, 7.4, that makes me a bit reluctant to have. It's stupid. Like, it's that reassuringly expensive thing. Like, if it was Haaland, I'd be like, yeah, okay, fair enough. I don't know. I just think it's Salah and it's a Merseyside derby, and I don't know. I think I'm just going to go there.
Okay. We'll leave the podcast there then. Your deadline is Tuesday, 6:15. Jules, whatever you do, do not forget it.
Do not forget.
6:15 is a bit of an obscure time. Set an alarm, as I always say. That's what I do. And honestly, it is the best thing you can do. Even if every time the alarm goes off, I'm like, what the hell is my alarm going off? I'm awake. And then you realise and you're like, oh, thank goodness I did that. That's 19 minutes ahead of Arsenal versus Fulham and Wolves taking on West Ham. Now, we're going to be back on Thursday to review game week 30 so far and look ahead to game week 31. I've realised we record at 8 a.m. on Thursday. I'm presenting Match of the Day on Wednesday. I get in at 4 a.m. So I'll have had about 3 hours sleep. So no guarantees that that podcast is going to be any sense, because I've also got to be talking about my wild card. So yeah. Praise me. Yes. As I was reading ahead in the script, I was like doing the maths of how much sleep I was going to get. And my daughter doesn't sleep as well. So maybe I'll just stay up. You know, I might still be fresh in all my makeup from TV the night before. You never know. Anyway, the fantasy show will also be back this week. We will be back on Friday. It feels like ages ago since we had one of those. But thank you, as always, for listening to us. A reminder that before the action does take place, you can listen back to the previous couple of pods we did, because we did go into our wildcard plans in detail in every single position. So hopefully they're useful for you as well. Have a great, I was going to say weekend, it's midweek, but it feels like a weekend, doesn't it? Have a great few days, guys. See you on Thursday.